The word of the Lord chosen for this evening in our series, Behold Your God, comes from the prophet Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So far, God's holy word. We pray, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. If there is one thing that we understand well in Wisconsin, near the winter solstice, when the sun reaches its farthest point away from us here in the northern hemisphere, it's darkness. Pretty soon, I think at the worst, I read, it was about 7 a.m., a little bit after that the sun rises, and about 4 p.m. that it sets. And not only that, but many of the days are cloudy. Now, I don't mind clouds. I don't mind the night. I don't mind darkness. But even I get a little tired of it. And you can see this lack of sunlight reflected on the people around you. Their faces get paler. And maybe they start to get a little bit of cabin fever. They want to get out and do stuff. Some people can actually get seasonal depression, not getting enough vitamin D from the sunlight. How much more glorious, then, by contrast, is the spring, when the sun rises in all of its strength and light and energy, and you just want to get out and do all kinds of stuff. It is that image which Isaiah lays upon us here in the text. For the words that he uses here, arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord is risen. That's the word for the rising of the sun. And he says this rising of the sun is the breaking of the darkness. It's Christ, born in that manger, like a sun shattering the darkness of the earth. And in Christ, he says, we can behold our God and shine by staring into the sun, S-O-N, and by being the moon. Now, you know that you're not supposed to stare into the sun. You could go blind. Yeah. Not good. Lose your eyesight. And it's even worse, you wouldn't even usually want to. It's even worse if you've just been in a dark room. You're inside and you come out and it's just like, oh, it's too bright. I don't want to look at it. I get this too in the middle of the night when my daughter wakes up and she wants a bottle. And I have to flip on the light in the kitchen. And not only do I have to have the light on, but I have to actually look at the ounce line on the bottle and I have to be able to see. And all I want is to pull the covers back over my head and not have any light. We have that same reaction spiritually to God's law. It's a light too bright for us to look into. It blinds us. And God's law is a light to begin with. But it's a light which, without the gospel, turns to complete darkness. And that is the darkness that Isaiah speaks of in the text. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. The word for peoples there, it's the word for Gentiles. He's talking, in his time, the only nation in the whole world that had anything beyond the law was Israel. They had the promises of the Savior. Everybody had the law. Now, the law that God had given the Israelites was fuller, clearer than the law that he had given everybody else. But everybody had it. The Bible says that the law is written on man's heart. It's there. It's a leftover shadow of the image of God that he originally created us with. And if you need to look anywhere for proof, just look around at every culture in the world. Every one of them has a religion. And every one of them has right and wrong. Every one of them has morality, which is pretty consistent. But this law, without the gospel, turns to darkness. And there's at least, I can think of at least three ways, three types of darkness. The first is the darkness of despair. See, when man looks into the law, and there's no gospel, and he sees only a God of the law, whether it's the law of Sinai or the law of his heart, and looks at himself like he really is, a sinner, and looks at God as he really is, just and holy and condemning and righteous, there's nothing to do but despair. So sometimes they resort to the second type of darkness. This is the darkness of delusion. And it's like if you're standing outside and you hold up a thick blanket across the sun and you look at the blanket and you see kind of that soft glow coming through and you say, yeah, I can stare into the sun, I just did it, and I didn't go blind. And people do this really easily. We do it. A good example is the fifth commandment. Fifth commandment says, thou shalt not murder. And we think, how many of us have kept that today? Well, if we're holding the blanket up over the sun, we might think, I didn't kill anybody. Good to go. Or maybe we take it a little bit farther. I didn't physically harm anybody, so I'm good to go. But when we see what Scripture truly teaches about the fifth commandment, it nails us to the wall. Because we see that not only does it forbid killing and physical harming, but even wanting something bad to come to somebody else, and wanting to get revenge on somebody else. It even goes further than that. Jesus says that whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And when he says hate, he doesn't mean that you have those really intense feelings of rage against somebody. He means anything less than love. Jesus knows of only two attitudes towards our neighbors, love and hate. And love is always putting them and their needs, physical, mental, and spiritual, above our own at all times, whether they're our best friends or our worst enemies. We don't do that. You don't do that, and I don't do that. We are condemned by this, but maybe we don't want to look into that. We don't want to go blind from despair, so we cover it up, we lessen it. And people do this all the time. It's really common. There's a third type of darkness, and I think this is maybe the most common in our country today, and I call it the darkness of dismissal. And you don't want to feel the wrath of God. You don't want to feel His condemning. You don't want to look into the law, so you just push it all away. Everybody's got that voice of conscience inside, but they try to pretend that it's not there or write it off. And the reason I say it's one of the most common today, maybe you've heard of this philosophy, relativism. It's the idea that there is no absolute anything. They take the idea of taste, right? Say with food. I like a banana and you like an apple. Okay, that's fine. We have different tastes. And they say that applies to everything. So there is no ultimate truth. That's your truth, but it's not my truth. And there is no ultimate morality. That's your morality, but it's not mine. And of course, if we think this through, we see how ridiculous it is. Because based on those standards, nobody could even say that actual murder was wrong. Man dismisses God to avoid the blinding light of the law, and he ends in darkness. And of course, all of this darkness leads into more darkness, because what are you left with? When you're in this world and you see all of the terrible things that are happening, and all you have is the law, what conclusion are you left to draw about God? There is only one, and that is that he hates you, and he wants you to die. The law teaches us nothing else. The law shows us a lot of things about God. It shows us that he is orderly and that he is just and holy and powerful. It even shows us that he's good. But it doesn't show us anything, not even a whisper, of his grace, of his mercy. But Jesus does. And that is the light that Isaiah is talking about, a light that breaks into this darkness and shatters it. The light of the baby born in that manger. The light of what he came to do. Isaiah says, the glory of the Lord shall rise upon you. Now that word glory, and that term, glory of the Lord, the word glory in Hebrew is chabod. I say that just because it's fun to say, chabod. And it literally means to be heavy. And the idea is the full weight of the qualities of God. Everything that he is and everything that he's done. And we just mentioned, the law shows us some of that. And that's why in our scripture reading from Corinthians, Paul said that the law had a glory. It shows us some of who God is. But it was a fading glory. You know, he referenced Moses, and maybe you didn't quite remember what he was talking about. God calls the children of Israel to Mount Sinai, and he appears in this thundering cloud on the mountain, and the people say, oh no, Lord, that's too scary. So he brings Moses up the mountain, and he gives the law to Moses, and Moses walks back down the mountain, and Moses teaches the people, and his face is shining like the sun. And the people say, oh no, Moses, that's too bright. You've got to cover your face up. But that glory, which is a reflection of the glory of the law, it fades. And Paul says, that's because the law is a fading glory. It shows us part of who God is. But because it doesn't show us his grace, it ends up in darkness. The gospel, on the other hand, is the full, bright, enduring glory of the forgiveness of sins. John, in the first chapter of his gospel, says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He also says, the law came through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And he also says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. We do see God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's exactly what Paul said. We see the full glory of who he is in Christ's work for us. That he lived and suffered and died for our sins. That he paid for them all. That he freely forgave everyone, no matter how wicked, no matter how evil, because of his great love. That is a glory far surpassing the law. But the ironic thing is that even though it's much brighter than the law, we can look right at it. We can stare right into the sun, S-O-N, and not go blind. And that is how glorious this is. That is the forgiveness of sins. And it even goes beyond that. For because Jesus has taken away that sin, taken away that darkness, and we can stare right into him, we're even able to stare into the law and not go blind. We can afford to see ourselves just as we are and to see God just as he is, and we don't have to cower in fear. We can be fully condemned for our sins and bring them to God joyfully because we know who he really is. A gracious God. A God who forgives. We can behold the Son by staring at the Son, Jesus. Now, you know the thing about the sun shining on you? You're going to reflect it. All light rays bounce off to some extent. You know, black soaks up just about all of them, but I think even with black, some of the rays are bounced off. Light is going to bounce off things. And the greatest example of this is probably the moon. Moon is the brightest light in the night sky, much brighter than all the stars, and especially on a clear night when it's full, it bathes the world in nocturnal light. And yet the moon is a cold, dead rock. It has no source of light, no source of energy. The moon is nothing but a testament to the great glory of the sun. For even though it is many, many millions of miles away, it's so bright that it gives us that much light when we are turned away from it. And it's the same with us in Christ. Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And then he also says, in the end, the second part of verse 2, the Lord will arise over you and his glory will be seen upon you. He's saying, when Christ rises on you in all of his glory, it's going to reflect off of you. And this starts with the Israelites. Notice he says, your light, his glory will be seen upon you. The Israelites could rightfully say that Jesus was theirs. It had been promised to them. He had come from their race, and he came first to them. But from them, that light shone to the world through men like Peter and Paul, who brought the message of the forgiveness of sins to the Gentiles and shone all the way down to us here today through the Word of God. And that's how he shines in us today. That's how we see the sun. That's how he rises on us in glory. And when he does, he's going to reflect off of us. And it's important for us to realize this when we're talking about our lives of sanctification, when we're talking about shining, whether that's good works. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Or whether it's sharing the gospel with somebody, or whether it's simply the joy that we have in the forgiveness of sins. We can't manufacture it ourselves. You and I are by nature cold, dead rocks like the moon. But Christ, when he shines on us in his love, in his grace, he's going to reflect off of us. He is going to produce works of love and fruits of faith in our lives. He is going to fill our mouths with the message of his forgiveness. He is going to give us that joy that we can't find in ourselves. A joy that is ours even in sorrow, even in the darkness of this world. Because the gospel gives an answer to all. The gospel tells us that we have a God who does not hate us. We have a God who loves us, no matter what our sins are. And so we can arise and shine by being the moon, reflecting the sun, There's a good maybe way to think about this in your personal life and during the Advent season, or maybe before communion or before church service, or maybe even every night. And that is to think through the commandments one at a time. Not holding a blanket over the sun, but really seeing what they have to say about you and about your life. And then ask yourself this question: how do I feel about that? And how do I feel about God when I examine myself according to the law? Do I hate him? At least partially? That is proof to all of us that we have a sinful nature. And it's proof to all of us we need to stare into the sun. Because when we see Jesus and we see his love, we don't have to hate the law. We don't have to hate God. We can behold him freely, joyfully, and he can shine off of us. And it's ironic, isn't it? I mentioned earlier about the darkness this time of year. We get kind of the worst of both worlds with the sun right now. Least amount of light, least amount of energy, and yet seemingly the most annoying. It's the brightest. I don't know, I have like sensitive eyes, and I go outside and I'm driving, and it seems like it's always this during the winter. Partly because it's bouncing off the snow, right? And partly because the sun is lower in the sky and it shines more directly in my path. Christ is exactly the opposite. We get the best of everything with him. We can look at him, we can stare at him and not go blind, and yet his glory is a glory much greater than the law. And his glory is a glory that fills us and bounces off of us so others can see it too. So that we, in his word, by his grace, can behold him just as he is. We can behold our God and shine. Amen. And now the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.